Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. He made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
I'd like to stay with some local stuff here as we open Big Suey because there were a couple of things that we didn't get to during the local hour that I wanted to talk about involving the Miami Heat. So Bam Adebayo has said that he intends to win a championship in Miami, that there's no ceiling on who he can be, that he intends to be a top five center or power forward of all time. Once you're talking like that, why are you only putting yourself like fourth on that list? Like, why is the destination of the goal just, I want to be top five? First of all, he's making it a wide space by making it center or power forward. But once you're in that sphere talking that way, why are you stopping? Is there someone is Kareem stopping him? Like, who's stopping him from saying, I can't be? Is it Wilt? I can't be number one or number two. I'm just going to throw out the top five net.
Maybe it's Bill Russell. I mean, I don't know, but something is preventing him. And now, listen, I will tell you this. We do not want him to be the next Wilt or Bill Russell. Those guys were great, but in today's NBA, they're useless.
Well, they wouldn't have described themselves as centers or power forwards. They would have said they were centers.
This is a good time to remind Sugatse you have till the end of the segment to take a take back. Bill Russell, Kareem, Wilt, we all agree, those are the top three. Rounding out the top five, Shaq and Hakeem Olajuwon. So why doesn't Bam Adebayo just come out and say, I'm going to be better than Shaq?
Or Hakeem, right? Like, why not? Let's go. If you're going to push it, Bam, if you're going to, in the new evolution, because we've talked about this before. I'm not totally sure what Shaq would be today. He'd be dominant, but I just don't know. And he'd be someone who set up three-pointers all over the place because he made Damon Jones the best shooter in the league for a season.
Bill Russell would be a wingman. I mean, 6'9 is a wingman these days. So
yeah, they would have to evolve their game. Shaq was so skilled, though.
He was, but I'm asking you, who's he guarding? Like, in today's NBA, what's he doing on defense? Like, he's going out. You couldn't get Shaq to defend a pick and roll. You're going to get him out on the perimeter, shuffling his feet at the three-point line?
My guess is the Shaq nutritional plan would probably have changed. Like, Shaq's body would have looked more like he did when he broke into the league with the Orlando Magic, although who knows if he has that discipline, because in his day, he had to bulk up, and strength was such a part of his game that...
Early Shaq, you need to look at the athleticism of skinny early
Shaq. It's incredible.
Shaq.
He can man up Jokic, though, right? Like, Shaq could handle Jokic.
I don't think anybody can handle Jokic. I don't think there's been anybody in the history of the league that can handle Jokic. Maybe Shaq could. I remember that offensively skilled centers weren't particularly, they weren't particularly worried about Shaq. Shaq always had the viewpoint, or Shaq always had the perception that he didn't care all that much about defense, that he should be dominating on defense because he was so much bigger than everybody
else. To your point, I actually like Bam on Jokic.
Bam on Jokic, the one who did bother, to your point, Stugatz, the one who did in the playoffs bother Jokic a little bit at least was Dwight. Dwight was bothersome. Yeah. I just also think of Dwight as so much leaner. I am thinking of heavy Shaq. I'm thinking of thick Shaq, not early Orlando Shaq that didn't have any polish but was unlike anything the league had ever seen.
Yeah, everything about centers has sort of changed. He built his body to actually bang inside and compensate for Hakeem Olajuwon's moves, put a shoulder into Hakeem. So it was a bit of a different nutritional plan. What Bam Adebayo is saying, I don't think there's ever been a time, we're sort of surprised. Like in game six, I was surprised that Bam scored that many points. He still isn't that guy. He developed that shot from the free throw line a little bit. Like, okay, we're starting to trust that a little bit more. And when things got tight and he had his injury, he didn't trust it as much. He's a good offensive player. he can handle, and he can set other teammates up. But he needs to be a much better scorer, more dependable scorer for
him
to enter
that
conversation.
They run everything through him, Mike. They run everything through him.
I understand.
Like they run everything, his passing. They love him as a player.
But opposing defenses are still letting him take that shot. You need to become the type of player that opposing defenses don't give you that shot.
Do you think he could be a better shooter than Giannis? Because the career path, the stats through the first couple of seasons are pretty similar, and then it started to become, can Giannis hit the three? Can he hit it consistently?
No, I don't think he can be a three-point shooter. Right. That's not how I imagine.
Interesting. I want to see the head-to-head mid-range shooting stats on Bam and Giannis, because maybe, I mean, this is knee-jerk, but maybe he already is a better shooter from distance than Giannis?
From mid-range you're talking about.
Yeah, from mid-range on out. Like, Bam hasn't really taken threes either.
Bam's comments speak to the Heat culture. A little arrogant, but also respectful and humble.
Well, let me ask you guys this question, because I did not realize, and Billy has this great photographer impersonation that he does when he dismisses great artistic photographic work. But I could not believe this weekend was the 10-year anniversary of one of the greatest sports photographs ever taken, which is at the height of all that Heatlemania. In 2010, Dwayne Wade flipping a ball over his shoulder, and you see swooping in from the heavens like a pterodactyl, a glorious Olympic god at the height of his prime, the MVP of the league, LeBron James, just looking like he is falling like lightning from heaven with the ball cocked back behind his head. And Dwayne knows what he has done. Dwayne feels all over his body what's coming behind him.
He knows the results.
And he spreads his arms wide in just this wonderful swaggering ballet arrogance of like, yeah, I know who's behind me. I know who's got my back. I had never noticed before yesterday, though, that his pinky finger has clearly been photoshopped or cropped or chopped off in, on his right hand, so you can more clearly see LeBron's muscular shoulder making its way to the basket. I had never seen before. It looks like Dwayne has nine fingers. It's one of the greatest sports photographs ever taken, but I had never noticed before, because of everything else happening in the shot, that it looks like Dwayne doesn't have a right pinky.
That is not the photo for me. When you first started setting that up, that's not the first photo that I thought of from that time. That just like explains that time period. Do you guys know what photo I'm talking about? If it's not...
There are a few. Trayvon Martin. The Trayvon Martin photo that team took was the start of LeBron sort of finding his adult voice.
I was going to say it's a lady giving Joakim Noah the finger.
There it is. That's what I was talking about.
I was going to say it's LeBron holding the trophies.
No, that's what I did in the Zoom, Dan. As soon as you brought up the picture from that time, I like did the middle finger gesture because I was thinking of that
lady. That was so good. Wasn't she accused of murder?
There was something in her past.
Okay, I like the way I said it better. Wasn't she accused
of... I'm just trying to protect myself from legal action.
Can you guys look this up, please? Can someone please give me the information for those who are listening and don't know the photograph we're talking about? At the height of just craziness, insanity, Miami Heat, nuts, nostalgia. I can't believe... Are you guys not surprised this was 10 years ago that this photograph was taken? 10?
No, it's felt every bit of 10 years.
Just in the last month?
Yes.
So
did that photo win awards? Because they should be taken away, because it's not a real photo. Like, that's a fake. That photo's fake. If you crop out his finger, that's not a legitimate photo, which leads me to believe that you're starting to buy into my whole photography thing. Yeah. It's a game, Dan. It's a game. Take 1,000 pictures over and over again, and then you go on your little computer and you start playing with the colors and removing this and removing that and adding this and adding that. Everything's a lie in the world of photography.
The lady you're about to describe for us from the Heat Bulls game who gave Joakim Noah the finger was indeed once accused of murder.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Is everything a lie?
So you're saying she had a past.
In photography. I want more information on this so that I can set this up for the audience because just so you know, I know many of you just really get upset with me over explaining things or... explaining jokes, especially, just so that you know, over the last few years at ESPN, we have had many, many, many more new listeners than we have had listeners who have been with us throughout. And many of you were at one time not introduced to the joke or the jokes, and you hated this show until we explained all of it, or you learned it on your own without the explanations. Trust me when I tell you, I don't want to be explaining all of this shit. And I look forward to the day when I don't have to anymore. So in this photograph I'm talking about, though, not the one, the one Chris Cody is talking about, Joakim Noah was, he was, at the time, he was sort of a top five MVP type of player. He became that a couple of years later when Derrick Rose was down. It's an amazing thing to think about, Joakim Noah being top five MVP when he was at the center of the Bulls. But when he had Derrick Rose on the team, the Miami Heat hated the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls made someone in the Heat locker room, and people think it was LeBron, cry after a regular season loss because the pressure had arrived in such a crazy place. The Miami Heat go to the playoffs to play Derrick Rose, MVP Derrick Rose. He has taken the MVP from LeBron James, and LeBron James has said, I will never win an MVP again. When I came to this team, I gave up the ability to win that. Joakim Noah is hated because he is haggard and a player you want on your team, but not a player you want to be playing against.
He would do all the annoying things, play a little bit dirty, try to get inside the head of opposing players. I mean, there was that famous time at the free throw line. He was clapping in people's face. He was just awful to play against.
A dirty irritant. And when I say dirty, I mean like seems unclean. Seems like hygiene is not a priority. Maybe I think we made a lot of jokes about lice in his hair at the first couple of years. And so he is leaving the court. Was he ejected from the game or had he fouled out? Well, he was leaving the court and a woman, a Miami Heat fan, gets right up in his face, leans over and puts a middle finger in this giant's face. And that is the memorable photograph. And then we started digging through her past, and it was Palm Beach, I think, right? We
said Jupiter.
We said it was eminently Miami, but it was basically just this entire area that is the tip of the Florida penis.
Her name is Philomena Tobias. She was married to a hedge fund guy, and the hedge fund guy, her husband, was found dead in their swimming pool.
Okay. So that is the picture you were thinking of, Chris, when I said one of the most famous sports photographs ever. You were thinking of that one, not the action shot. You were simply thinking of that. Are you guys old enough to remember? Billy, Chris, are you old enough to have any hatred for the Florida Gators? Because I asked Mike this earlier. I feel like that rivalry has been dead for so long and they haven't played for so long that Billy and Chris wouldn't have any feelings of animosity, anything other than indifference toward the University of Florida.
I've always disliked FSU more just because I've personally been friends with more FSU fans, and I just, you know, the khaki pants and the boat shoes. And I know Florida fans kind of do that same thing, but I've always kind of been, you're right, to your point, I've always been a little, I didn't understand the Florida beef with UM fans because they're not in the same conference. I always hated FSU more.
My wife went to Florida, and she would tell me that the fan base that the Gator fan base couldn't stand were the Hurricanes, not the Seminoles. They actually got along okay with the Seminole fan base.
I'm with your wife. I hate UM. Yeah. The fan base is awful. I don't hate Florida. I find myself rooting for Florida just because UM doesn't like them.
I would imagine Beeple would hate Florida. I don't know if you've talked to him recently or not, but Beeple has to. I feel like he's got more emotional history there than you do, because if you look at the regional specificity of that rivalry, and you saw what just happened in the election in terms of there are two very different Floridas. There are layers of crud in the Florida-Miami relationship, much of it having to do with football, but also much of it having to do with there being no one in Gainesville who looks like Miami looks. Like, no one. You will not find in Gainesville any of the diversity and the loud, obnoxious dancing diversity that you find in Miami.
Unless some kids from Miami went to Gainesville.
That place sucks, bro. All they have is like one restaurant. That's it. That's all they have. And all they do is talk about the past and how great they used to be with Tim Tebow and blah, 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 blah. Live in the present, bro. When's the last time you won anything?
So this is Whispering People. I'm very excited. People, welcome
back.
I
told you that I can't yell anymore.
I know.
Must be at work.
No, what's happening here is he's got to deal with his homeowners association. I don't know what it is, but I'm still grateful for Whispering People or people in every form. Final notice.
Oh, you got, wow. That's what I was
got,
on.
Wow. Final
what? So you got a final notice. What does that mean? So where
three of them.
Three final notices. So what do you? Where do you have to keep the volume? This is where
it right here. This is as high as it goes.
Okay. So tell me, can you explain to me? Thank you for joining us. It's been a long time, and I've missed you because the Hurricanes are 9-1, and we haven't talked to you, and it's been crazy. Like it's been. How obnoxious have you been? I understand that you've been neutered and muted by your corporate overlords. I understand. I feel your
People
plight.
Don't hear me anymore. I try to call in, but I can't hear me. They say, speak up. And I said, I can't. They told me that I can't talk anymore. And it was all because of that college game day where they put me on the screen and they didn't put me on the screen. And I was there with my bottom man and I was making all the noise. And they never showed me on the screen anyways. Lee Corso.
How exhausted were you doing that? Like, they never showed you on the screen. How many hours in character as people were you? People always had
character? What do you mean character?
Good point.
People.
4 hours of keeping it 100 is what I was doing.
What happened on college game day, the day of college game day?
That clown buffoon Stu Gatz took all the we have to put him on. We're going to talk to J-Lo. We're going to talk to Avery. We're going to talk to people. And then Stu Gatz comes parading in with his big Miami 954 jersey. Like, that's not even Miami, bro, but whatever.
People, I'm a little worried about your voice. We can stop. Please tell me if, because we are.
Why? Pressing.
Well, because
this is hibernating.
I'm just worried about how your voice is going to be if I go back to you during the national show, because it seems like that requires a lot of effort. Anytime people has made an appearance on this show, he is super drained. It seems to require a great deal of energy that feels a little exhausting. You're drinking from a cup. Didn't you make a mistake recently drinking from a cup while? That was Billy. That wasn't you, people. That was what happened to you, Billy? The time. With the drinking from the
roommates,
they live near each other. Yeah, Billy.
Hey guys.
Hey Billy. What happened to you with the cup? We'll get back to people in a second. Please tell them not to go too far away. But what happened with you and the cup?
You're really cutting me off again. You're a real college game day now, bro.
We're talking to Billy for a second.
You hear about this cup? Oh, I'm sure it's gonna be super interesting. I mean, when does he ever drink from any cups? Water, probably. That guy's a dork.
Thank you.
Billy, I don't know what your relationship is with people. I always thought you guys got along. I don't know why he's calling you a dork. I don't understand the tension in your relationship. But I was asking the thing that happened the other day where, you know, because everyone's discombobulated, everyone's crazy. There are times that we're doing the show and things get knocked off kilter. Didn't you accidentally drink from the wrong cup? And
almost drank my stress candle the other day. The same one that I was lighting that I burnt my hand on the lighter. By the way, it was candle day, the day we were talking about candles, and I didn't get any because I tipped everyone off to the fact that it was candle day coming up. I didn't even know. They sold out online. And if you think I'm going to wait in that line, did you see the lines or the news?
Boy,
hundreds
was
of
I
people
wrong about that.
Were waiting in line to get candles. It was insane. Guys,
I could not
you're
have
saving
been
like
wrong.
$2 on a candle. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Anyways. Yeah, so I'm drinking out of a glass, and then the candle holder's a glass also, and I had it on the same side as my cup. I grabbed it. I almost drank, and thank goodness I looked, because things would have been bad.
The flame was on? It was burning? The candle was burning?
Well, I knew that something was off when I touched it, and my hand was like, this is a little warm. I was drinking. There should be ice in here. And then I looked, and I was
going.
Like, oh, no, that's a lit candle. Probably don't want to drink that.
Chris, forgive me. What were you wrong about? I didn't realize you had a strident opinion.
Lines
that about candles. This guy, bro.
Last week, I disputed that people would be waiting in line for candles, and people were tweeting me all weekend of like very long lines for candles.
You know the dumbest thing about it? Not that we have to have another candle show, but you're waiting in a line of like 100 people, right? And you're assuming when you finish that line, they're going to have the one candle scent that you want and that everyone else hasn't already bought that scent. You're going to get stuck with some weird like potpourri lavender, some nonsense that you don't actually want because that's all that's going to be left once you get into the store.
Some
we don't
nonsense.
Need to talk about candles anymore.
Some nonsense. Nice, nice.
John Candelaria.
Are you going to try?
Mrs. Tobias once allegedly tested her husband for cocaine use like this. Just after sitting down, Phyllis jumped from her seat, placed her lips over Tobias's nose, and began sucking. She was searching for cocaine residue.
All right, hold on a second. I need more information on this story. Where is this story from? Let's go back.
That works. This is SB Nation.
Let's go back a second. Okay, let's do this. Let's just do a segment I like to call Stugatz Reading. So Joakim Noah is walking off the court, and this woman has stuck, was it one middle finger? It was two middle fingers, was it not, Chris? It was a double middle finger situation.
Let me investigate that.
Nah, it was a single middle finger. Yeah, she had the other hand wrapped around a very expensive pocketbook.
Chris, it can't be one of the most famous photographs ever if you can't answer the question for me whether it was one middle finger.
Well, you sounded certain.
Or two.
Yeah, I mean, you had. I was pretty sure it was one, and you said two, so I was like, oh, I don't want to say.
He's our researcher. He's got to be cautious.
And I have the picture in front of me, so I have to be honest, I would have caved in as well if I were Chris. I've done it a million times to you.
And to your point... Then the Dwayne Wade LeBron James photo can't be the most famous photo of that era because none of us noticed that Dwayne Wade has a Gerald Green finger.
You know what? You're right. Both fingers, both photographs have, yes, have a finger missing in my recollection. So you're right. So let's just read from this story, Stugatz, because this woman, she was, we all marveled at it when it happened. We all thought it was funny, except maybe Joakim Noah. And we laughed, and then we started, as with all of these stories, searching around in her past. For example, do not search around in the past of the guy who was riding on a skateboard with the cranberry juice, and all of a sudden...
Don't ruin that guy for me.
It's too late. I mean, once you start doing the reporting on some of these people who become instantaneously famous and then you dig through their past and you're like, oh, wait, he got a truck from Ocean Spray and...
Did this start with Kai or the dead giveaway guy? Just let the people bring us joy in a fleeting moment.
So we ended up... When did it start? Wasn't it the homeless guy? Some guy on...
The homeless guy with the amazing voice.
There was a homeless guy on the street who had a voiceover voice whose life had descended into drugs and awful, and he was discovered on the side. So it's one of the first things to go viral. He just showed up, you know, asking for money. Somebody opened their window and asked him to do voiceover voice, and he did it perfectly. And then he rocketed to stardom. And then very, very shortly thereafter, people did a bunch of reporting. And Stunner, guy who was homeless, had a bad, bad string of stuff in his past. Thank you, Mike. Let's go ahead and read, Stugatz, some of this from SB Nation. Just you reading paragraph after paragraph about who this woman was.
Okay, the way SB Nation does it is they give you like just five or six things from her past, so I'll just read those one by one. In just one moment from their rocky marriage, Mrs. Tobias bought a Porsche on a credit card. She then had to return it at the insistence of her husband. Mrs. Tobias once allegedly tested her husband for cocaine use like this. I gave that story. She sat down. Phyllis jumped from her seat. She placed her lips over Tobias's nose and began sucking. She was searching for cocaine residue.
The way we would all do it.
Yep. Mrs. Tobias was accused by an internet psychic of killing her husband. She was accused by the same internet psychic specifically of doing that by luring him into the pool by promising him a sexual liaison with a gay porn star, exotic dancer, who went by the name Tiger because of the tiger stripes he had tattooed on his body. All this was pursued in court by Tobias's family, who was cut off and cut out of his will by Florida law in favor of Mrs. Tobias. She was the sole beneficiary, had an active role in becoming that beneficiary sooner than nature intended.
It's like when you call on the stupid kid to read in class.
It's great.
She was cleared by the court and is now filthy rich enough to have excellent seats for Miami Heat games. According to her daughter, upon seeing her mother, I have to say, she still looks very hot.
Read the Bene work again.
Beneficiary? I can't. It's a tough word for me, man.
It is a tough one.
It's a beneficiary.
It's a tough word. You want me to read it again?
It's a fishery where you find a bunch of bennies.
You're
right. Roy, what were you laughing at? What was it, the psychic?
It was a psychic. Just apparently it's admissible in court now.
So, okay, so it's not the gay porn star or it's
would've
not
gone with Tiger.
Can you read that sentence again, please?
Was accused by the same internet psychic specifically of doing that by luring him into the pool by promising him a sexual liaison with a gay porn star, exotic dancer who went by the name Tiger because of the tiger stripes he had tattooed on his body.
My God, we live in a wonderful area of the country. I mean, it's awful, but it's also wonderful. It's wonder-awful. It's crazy to me that this stuff, that was the height of the craziness. It didn't get a whole lot crazier than right there. That was the first season, correct? That was again, crying in the locker room after a regular season game. It was like regular season game number 60. I want you to imagine LeBron James crying in the locker room. We never found out whether it was LeBron, right? It was reported like Windhorst. That, can you call Windhorst real quick and just ask? I want to go back and ask Windhorst the specifics.
You can text him. I think it's early where he's at.
Of the crying in the locker room, because I was legitimately surprised that it has been 10 years since that. And so some of the things that have happened recently, Stugatz, over those 10 years is we have seen Kyrie Irving go from loser in Cleveland, loser team as the number one option, to LeBron James going back there, reinventing Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving hits one of the greatest shots in NBA history.
Did you see what Kyrie did?
Well, this is where I'm headed. That's right. And then he becomes somebody who goes to Boston and torpedoes a franchise that seemed to be better with Isaiah Thomas than it was with Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving now ends up in Brooklyn. And did you see, Stugatz, what Mike is referencing that happened with Kyrie Irving over the weekend?
Where he didn't show up to talk to the press?
Well, he's not talking to the press. Right. He's boycotting in 2020. And look, I've been waiting for more guys to do this. There are certain things in the contracts of these guys where media availability is part of broadcast partnership. I don't know how many people know this, but these guys are not independent. There's all sorts of stuff with their franchise. You see this happening now with James Harden. He's got 3 years on his contract. He's not showing up for practice because he's at Lil Baby's birthday party like that. And these guys have so much power now through the LeBron, through those 10 years that we're talking about, that the coach of the Rockets is sitting here saying, I don't know, you have to ask James when he gets here what's going on with James, because James shows up when James wants to show up. He's going to be at a party. This while the NBA is putting in all sorts of rules that you can't be at that party. You can't be at strip clubs. You can't be at clubs. You can't be at gatherings of over 15 or more. And James Harden is doing what James Harden does, which is just, yeah, I got 3 years on my contract, but I got so much money that what? What are you going to do to me? I'll show up when I show up. And now Kyrie Irving is saying, I don't care about your media clauses. I don't care about your broadcast partners. I don't care. I'm not going to be available. I am giving you a media boycott for the season. And I wonder if that lasts. I don't think it can last, because I think people will force him to, because he's under contract.
Well, the Nets, the NBA.
There has to, that is not, the reason guys don't do that, Scott, everybody in the league would like to never talk to the media. Hell, Hassan Whiteside, did you guys see this story? One of the famous stories with Hassan Whiteside when he was in Sacramento is there was a beat writer, and he just went up to him. He's like, Jason, why are you always here? He didn't know what a beat writer was. Right. He thought that this guy was just a fan who really liked the team.
Hung around
and
the team.
Just liked to write down what everyone was saying.
With a pad and a pen.
That just, he didn't understand. And that stuff is part of what the partnership is. The NBA and the NFL have broadcast. The reason that people are available to us on the radio, the reason that you hear James Conner out of nowhere, we're low on the totem pole. But there are broadcast responsibilities and duties contractually. You can't just not talk to the media. It's not allowed.
You want to hand in a statement because you don't want to be taken out of context, and you yourself don't want to become a storyline headed into the season. And then you make yourself a storyline. And this is a guy who likes to say, I'm different, and considers himself very intelligent, yet I guess he can't convey what he means through his own words, so he's just going to come out with written sentence. It's a weird setup that he's doing. Steve Nash was made head coach, and I know they have established great assistants in D'Antoni and Jock Vaughn, but this is already getting off to like a weird start.
Chris, what were you smiling about there?
I'm just thinking back to your Hassan Whiteside note before. I feel like that's on Hassan. He should know that this guy works for a newspaper. That doesn't really speak, I don't think. Like, Hassan doesn't speak for the whole league. Like, he's just kind of an idiot.
I understand wanting to get your message out there and have it understood correctly. Kyrie can be confusing, even when he does do that, when he's on his own delivering some sort of message. The other thing that I have, the other problem I have with Kyrie acting like this, it's unearned. LeBron wants to come out and say it, fine. Some other people, fine. Not Kyrie Irving. Enough. I'm tired of him.
My point is, Chris, that there are plenty of guys in the league that would like to never speak to the media. Well,
too bad.
Well, Kawhi Leonard, you don't get to hear from him very much, but there are certain times he has to go trudge over and do that sideline interview that you know he doesn't want to do.
And there are certain people, like every person on the planet, who would give body parts to make $250 million if all they had to do was speak to the media once in a while.
But that's not all he has to do. He also has to win championships. Okay,
he plays a game for a living.
The centerpiece of a team and be great at what he does.
Well, he's never done that, be a centerpiece of a team and win a championship.
Kawhi hasn't?
Oh, well, Kawhi's done it a couple of times. I'm talking about Kyrie.
You start making rules. What happened in with the Clippers during the course of the season, now it all leaking out in the offseason. It's no wonder why their playoff run ended in embarrassment. And I understand you have to make some concessions for stars and the Miami Heat culture and the Miami Heat way. Even they bent a little bit while still making sure everyone handled their press obligations. No running away from this.
Well, that changed when LeBron got here. He was following Dwayne Wade's lead on that. They were available every day, Stugatz. Every single day while LeBron was here, Dwayne and LeBron were available to the media. And that was absolutely – LeBron didn't want to do it that way. That was Dwayne doing it that way and LeBron following Dwayne's lead on what was Dwayne's team.
Kyrie Irving, though, I'll disagree with Stugatz. He has done stuff on the court to earn it. But that was several years ago and several injuries ago, and it's been a while since Kyrie Irving has gone to a place and made them better. We haven't seen that. So you certainly make those changes within your culture and you acquiesce to star talents, and you certainly do that for what Kyrie was like 6 years ago. Now, this is... You have Kevin Durant, who's coming off an Achilles injury. You have Kyrie Irving, who every place that he ends up leaving is happy that he left now. Boston gets
twice
better.
With the Celtics.
Yeah,
twice.
I just don't know why. It seems as though they're letting... I'm not going to do the Houston Texans owner quote. It's just the people are having the run of the place there that haven't had the... They've had team success, right? Kevin Durant joined the greatest team.
This is the derivative, though. This is what I'm pointing out to you. The thing that I'm talking to you guys about, it's been 10 years since that photograph. It's been 10 years since LeBron changed all of this. And, of course, the trickle-down economics of this is such that, yes, now James Harden has the power, and it's 3 years on the contract, and he's like, get me out of here. I'm going to make a mess for you. And Kyrie Irving learned there. That's where Kyrie Irving learned and is like, no, I want to be my own LeBron. I want to have my own power over here. And now he's in a position where he basically can't. If he speaks, you're going to kill him. If he doesn't speak, you're going to kill him because of what the last few years have been. He's in the no-win position of anything Kyrie Irving says. If he's uninteresting, you're going to bash him. If he's interesting, you're going to bash him. If he doesn't talk at all, you're going to bash him.
Because he's not at LeBron's level or Kawhi's level.
Who is?
Kawhi. Kawhi is one of the guys who is. Steph Curry might be one of the guys who is. And to Mike's point, I think this is going to be fascinating. Durant had to leave a place where he was the number one, join that construct in Golden State, one of the great teams ever, to finally win a championship. Kyrie had to wait for LeBron to come back. It's not like Kyrie was doing a whole bunch of winning before LeBron came back and joined him in Cleveland. Let's see if these two guys, for the first time, where they're left alone to their own devices to be the leaders of an NBA basketball team, if their way can produce an NBA title.
Help me with something, okay? Because I really do want to know where your tipping point is on this. If Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are not allowed to be jackasses because they've earned it, according to whatever math you're doing here, like, what's the list? I'm curious what the tipping point is. You've given it to Kawhi. You've given it to LeBron. You've given it to maybe Steph. Who's fourth? Like, who? Nobody else gets it? It's those three guys, according to Stugatz, who are allowed to be jackasses to the media because they've earned it.
Anthony Davis is getting there.
I just want to know where this is for you and how you're doing.
I'm not certain there is a fourth. I think I might only have three. Kawhi, Steph Curry, LeBron James. I'm doing the math. It's simple. It's championships and being the reason your team won championships. That's how I'm doing it.
The season's right around the corner, and I'm fascinated with the Brooklyn Nets. I'm going to be watching every single game. And in talking it out with you clumsily, because I also want to be safe, and these are great players, and they might shove it down my throat because I don't see how it works. But in talking it out with you, I actually think an unconventional coach that acquiesces to the eccentricities of these stars might be the way to go. And at the very least, if it doesn't work out this season, because they might not be the same players because of all the injuries and their age, you can say, all right, now we're going to do it my way. And you'll have more buy-in if they gave you a chance. It's just, it's going to be fun to watch.
I would be less careful than you. And we'll see, because that's a major injury for Kevin Durant. I think that team shoots right to the top of the Eastern Conference, because you guys are forgetting that Kevin Durant went to the Warriors and was better than Steph. Went to the Warriors, and Steph had to say, yeah, you're the guy at the end of games, because you can always get your shot.
It's culture versus counterculture. Might end it really up playing, is. No, in the Eastern Conference.
This is what I find fascinating about the way this has trickled down over a decade of us watching. This is what happened when the players have the power. Because now Harden's gone, he's trying to get over there. He's like, yes, let me be counterculture over there. Let me be the mutation that springs from Wade and Bosch and LeBron trying to be press conferences every damn day, being professional, learning how to do this. We're going to change the paradigm. And now what is it birthed? What is it farted out? It's farted out this thing in Brooklyn where you're like, please let James Harden get over there too, so that we can see it all play out in a way that's going to be a soap opera and guys are going to be crying in the locker room because of the pressure.
Do you think anyone disagrees with what it is you're saying? I believe that about the Nets. I believe they'll skyrocket right to the top of the East.
I think a lot of people think it's going to be head case nightmare. It's the same conversations we were having about the Heat. Do you remember how many years we spent? It doesn't matter if the parts fit. It doesn't matter. That kind of talent level, you put it on the court, they will figure it out and win championships. Do you not remember 9-8? Spoelstra, he's no good. This will never work. It's blowing up in LeBron's face. And that first year with Joel Anthony as their center, they got laughed at the end of the season because they lost. But those disjointed parts, all of them, with very little help, Carlos Arroyo's, it got to the finals, and we were stunned when it lost.
I remember it, and I think this is going to go very deep in the playoffs, if not win a championship. But what that Heat team had was a guy who had already won a championship in Dwayne Wade. This is going to be interesting to see.
Durant's won a championship, and so has Kyrie Irving.
That's
Stugatz.
According to you, okay? Okay. To me, neither of them have won a championship. What I am telling you, it's going to be interesting, Dan. They're going to be the one or two seed in the East. Can that team, with those two leading that team, win a championship? I have no doubt they're going to be great. I don't know if they can get through the playoffs and win a championship.
It's not great or chemistry that I'm. It's not. That's not where I'm looking at all. That's what'll get ripped. I'm just looking at health. Like, can they be what they've been? Because if they are, they're going to club everybody's head in. Like, they're going to be great if they can be what they've been. I just have no idea. In the state of their bodies, they both seem like they might be shells.
I feel pretty confident that they're not going to be what they were, but it still might be good enough. The big question is, it's a year and a half since they signed the contracts. We have no idea how the players play with each other. We have no idea about the coach. There's a lot of questions, but you've always been talent overrides everything in that sport, but you are also willing to admit the Miami Heat's culture gets the best out of you. Do they have enough? Is there the talent disparity such that counterculture will still win out in a head-to-head matchup?
I'd rather have I can't believe on the day the Browns won like that, you're just annoying people with culture today. I'd rather have Kevin Durant than anyone the Heat have, but I say that with the most enormous of asterisks. Okay. I'm expecting to get the Kevin Durant I last saw, and I don't know if I'm going to get that Kevin Durant.
I genuinely want your help on this. Is it just my face? Because I don't think I've said anything annoying about Heat culture touting it.
Culture, I think saying culture, bringing it up.
Really? Because I'm doing like a writer thing. Counterculture versus culture. We got the promos already, baby.
You'd probably rather have Kyrie Irving than anyone on the Heat team, right?
Not exactly. No, not exactly.
It's close, though.
It is close, but I'm not even thinking of Jimmy. I'm thinking of the upside of Bam. I'm not even thinking of Jimmy there, because we can go back and forth, right? I don't know.
Get Kyrie Irving out of here, man.
I'll take Tyler Hero over Kyrie.
I would take Tyler Hero's ceiling over what is obviously a downward trajectory for Kyrie Irving.
I love you guys.
Kyrie Irving the hell out of here.
I love you guys.
Durant's one thing.
We're not kidding, Stugatz. This is a bit.
I know, Chris. Thank you.
Am I trying to sell shoes or win basketball?
Chris, you would drive Bam up there right now if they offered guard.